So yesterday we had that wonderful panel with respect to how we speak to children about race. And after Brackenfell, after so many issues that have happened in the country here in 2020, in particular, I will point out the Senegal issue, the Clicks hair debacle, as well as Brackenfell, it is quite interesting to notice that there, while South Africans, day-to-day South Africans, might be affected by a particular issue, there is one party that keeps on driving its way into the front of the conversation, and that happens to be the EFF, who don't seem really that aligned with the bulk of South Africans and the national project of rebuilding, redress, and reconciliation. Siya Khumalo, author and News 24 columnist, wrote an incredible piece of insight, I felt, and I really wanted to echo his voice, particularly after we spoke about how we speak about race to children yesterday, just to bring it back to the grown-ups and how we take this narrative back as a society rather than being led by political parties. Siya, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Rusulu?
I'm outstanding, and I'm really grateful for your time. The title of your article is great. Would the EFF exist if we used triple BEE to make the constitutional real? Hot button issues across the board. Talk to us about what prompted the article.
Well, it's everything. And I was just listening to the discussion about public servant salaries. And I know this is like ideological waters, but you would think we would have a government that is less about perks for people within its immediate circles and more about the ecosystem within which the private sector and the public sector makes life better for everyone. So everyone gets to live out what the Bill of Rights promises, because it is possible through collaborations between government and business to make sure that everyone has water, to make sure that everyone has food, and do this, build systems around this before a disaster hits, because you don't need to know whether it's going to be COVID-19 or an earthquake or whatever it is to know that you cannot just have 1 year after another of all things being equal, but you don't do anything in that time to strengthen your systems for a bad rainy day, as it were.
Correct. And the Constitution actually has tools in place in order to straighten the system, right? So over and above, yes, what we would prefer would be to see government playing out its role properly. You know, this has become, triple BEE or economic redress has become such a hot button issue, and it's a political football, but it was a very serious solution to a very real happenstance here in the country. Let's just talk a bit about its importance.
Yes. So there are a number of perspectives about how BEE came into existence. And I remember that Helen Ziller wrote an article on the Daily Maverick, and it was a brilliant article about how she was arguing that corruption is built as part of the ANC's moral code, especially through BEE. And then Moletsi Mbeki responded on several platforms saying, no, the ANC didn't invent BEE. The private sector conceptualized it to avoid nationalization and expropriation without compensation. So while the ANC government was still a liberation party before it became the governing party, its policy thinking was, its economic policy redress thinking was more towards nationalization, centralizing everything basically, and from that platform redistributing wealth, where the private sector then said, wait, if we can share, if we can write laws, or if we can suggest laws that allow us to share the wealth, to include black people, then you will not need to nationalize. The problem was that instead of actually including or working to transform the economy, what that happened was those private sector businesses used those laws that they had suggested to buy political influence amongst one or two black people, politically connected black people, who then became extremely wealthy. And they keep showing up in all of these deals. Yes.
Right. I want to talk a little bit, and this is the issue about denialism, about the history and what needs to be done in South Africa and why the EFF gets to be so empowered. Yeah. In denying that it would be just to share in the economy, and in denying that the population should share in a broad sense, what we now have is a very, very large majority that lives in abject poverty, disenfranchised, and incredibly enraged and enthused to be taken advantage of by a party like the EFF every time a racial issue comes up.
Yes, and what the EFF were their geniuses is they wear uniforms that made uniforms and miners' uniforms to say, you are working very hard for this country. It's only fair that because you were born structurally into an environment that would require for you to work so hard and earn so little, it's only fair that our remuneration practices, that our skills development regime looks at empowering you. And you should be angry. So every time something happens, the EFF says, you see, this is what we were talking about. So when there's a Clicks incident, when there's a Stellenbosch incident where a white man drove over a black security guard, there are all of these instances that show that in this country, anti-blackness is normal. It is, we think it is normal and healthy that the majority of black people in this country struggle the way they struggle. And those who have resources feel threatened when anything at all is suggested to help those people have a leg up or an opportunity in life.
So your point may be valid, Sia, but the response from the EFF is disingenuous. So how do we get... How do we snatch back ownership of the national narrative from a party that sows discontent and aggression for its own personal gain?
We apply the law. So, for an example, Brackenfell. We ask the school, are you within the employment equity turnover band, or are you a designated employer? If not, then employment equity doesn't apply. But we also look at BEE, equitable and equal hiring practices. We apply the law instead of, and we do it before the thing erupts. Our children are telling us the school we're going to has these issues. As parents, okay, as communities, we bring those up and we apply the law. Because if we don't apply the law, we will have populism applied for us by somebody else who's taking advantage of the situation. Same with, remember there was a Baldwin Properties situation? I don't know if you saw it.
A what?
Baldwin Properties.
Yes.
So they were essentially subsidized by government for a development when they had 2 years of a BEE scorecard that was non-compliant. They actually printed the certificate saying non-compliant 2 years in a row. We asked questions of our businesses, especially those that are listed. What are your transformation plans? We interrogate not only the way that the BEE Commission and the Employment Equity Department of Labor look at all of these matters. We also participate in the discussions instead of allowing the EFF to set the narrative for how race is discussed in this country. We apply the law to it because the law can take us a few steps further than anger or undirected anger. Because, the analysis the EFF gives us correct. But we've got employment equity, we've got skills development, we've got BEE, we've got, I could go on, youth employment service. We can apply those things to the problems we keep seeing every day. And we can tell businesses, we will not spend money with you. We will protest if government spends money with you unless you have done these things. We will protest if you get listed and you have not done these things in this country.
Yeah, unfortunately, we are out of time, and it's such a rich discussion to have. But thank you very much. That sets the scene for us to have a better societal discussion instead of being hijacked by political nefariousness. Sia Khumalo is an author and News 24 columnist.